You are now listening to the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, everybody. This is Jason here with the Pulse Gamecast. Today's date is October 14th, 2014. Mr. Gray's not available to join us today, but we're going to soldier on. We miss him. But last week it was my turn for life to get in the way. I think this week it's his turn for RL to just invade. So y'all gonna have to put up with me for a little bit. Today's a pretty good day. A lot of news hitting us from different sides. So we'll go ahead and take a look at what we've got going on today. As usual, we talk about what we were doing. I was not able to play a whole bunch of PC games this week because of college, but I did get in some Destiny. My wife went by the old red box, and there it was sitting there, and she'd heard a lot about it, so she rented it for me and brought it home. As some of our listeners know, I have an 11-year-old who also has a PS3, and for the little bit that I did get to play it, it was outstanding. I played, I started off and had to download 5.56 gigabytes just to play the game. And then you have to download 170 gigabyte compatibility. It's free now, but you have to download it from PlayStation Network so that you can play on the Destiny servers. So that's basically almost, 6.2 gigs or something like that. So it was fairly big by the time I was done. And although I'm a metered input on my cable modem, it was wow, it's almost 6 gigs in a shot is a pretty good hit, but it was worth it. PS3 was really pushed hard to as far as visual limits. It's next gen stuff. I loved it. The music was outstanding. Loved the music just from the beginning to the end. I watched the entire cutscene from the beginning talking about the humanity and how the Traveler came around and all that kind of stuff. I must have watched that twice, maybe three times. Really enjoyed the back plot there, and I played through the intro twice. Created a hunter style scout character, and really had a good time with him. I haven't tried any of the other classes yet, but it seems as if that particular class is going to serve me just fine. I'm really kind of like it. Like the sniper rifle option. Also enjoyed the big hand cannon you get whenever you finally get to that level where you charge up your your super move, and all of a sudden you have this glowing like 357 python in your hand, and it just takes out those boss characters with shields and stuff in a single shot. Pretty awesome. Double jump is fun. Not even half an hour into the game, I was in public zones where I was helping people who had level 25 characters, showing him how to get up a rock face to a mission. Obviously, you can go back to areas where you've already gone once you acquire your transportation in the game, and replay in public missions, which was fun. I also participated in some kind of war satellite had fallen, and we had to defend it, and that was a lot of fun. So overall, really impressed with the game. Had a good time with it. Don't know why it's not rating higher, but people are finicky nowadays, and if it's not GTA 5 with the name, and a lot of, I don't know, I really can't say. I'd like to blame it on kids nowadays, but I mean, I'm basically a big kid, so truthfully speaking, I don't know why it's not more popular, but it's a fun game. Now, like I said, love the music, love the visuals. If I had a PS4, I'd probably love it even more. I've gone to Taco Bell like 4 times trying to win it off of one of those Quesarito boxes, but I have yet to win the white edition with the Destiny. For those of you who don't know, Taco Bell's running a special where if you buy the Quesarito box, I don't know, there might be other things, but you can get a code, and you text the code in on your phone, and you could possibly win a PS4 White, which hasn't even been released in North America yet. with a white controller, DualShock 4 controller, and Destiny game, 1 month of PS Network Online, and the digital download pack for Destiny. So cool. Not trying to plug Taco Bell, but they get a lot of my money anyway. So, you know, if any of you Taco Bell execs listen to my show, go ahead and, you know, put me on them for PS4. Even just some free dollar menu would be great. Anyway, let's say, looks like Gray's been doing a little Team Fortress 2 and a little bit of EQ2, which is good. That's my go-to game, but like I said, I didn't get to do a lot this week. I'm going to be talking a little later about our one-year anniversary giveaway. That's right, you heard me right. I didn't get to listen to last week's episode yet because it was being edited, but I think Gray probably mentioned that we're going to do a giveaway in honor of our 1 year. The gracious hosts of Holosuite Media have given us a prize to give to you guys, and it's actually a really good prize. It's a wonderful set of Razer Carcarious headphones. Carcarious being a really decent headset, you know, not basic bottom of the line stuff here, but you know, $80-$90 headset easy. And that's if you find it at a good price. I've seen it go for more than that. Really well constructed and, you know, really good for you guys out there who have the Xbox Live and the Xbox 360. And I don't know if the Xbox One takes those. I'd have to look. But anyway, like I said, wonderful guys at Holosuite Media have given us the Carcarious to give to you guys. And we were thinking, well, what can we do that would promote the show and at the same time, you know, get you guys excited about the headsets? And so we were thinking, well, everyone likes to send in screenshots. And although that's, you know, a really cool thing to do, we also like write-ups because we want to know what the screenshots represent, because the stories behind every screenshot are just amazing. And we're not just talking about, hey, why do you like our show or something like that. We're talking about those really cool stories, like, yeah, the reason my guy's up in the air and there's four gorillas surrounding him and there's a bottle of ketchup on the ground is because... And those are the kind of stories we like to hear. So, but here's the trick. Why is it Pulse Gamecast? What is it that's about Pulse Gamecast that would trigger you guys to do these screenshots? Well, we want you guys to send us screenshots on any of the games that we have covered in our 1 year. That's right. 1 year, we've been on the radio, we've been on the Gamecast talking about games. We've talked about tabletop games, PC games, Xbox games, PS Vita games, Wii games, and we've talked about it all, PS3, PS4, you name it. I mean, we'd talk about Parcheesi if we knew how to play it, but the fact is we've talked about everything. So pick an episode, go back in the histories, download our podcast, take a look and see what we've talked about. Do you play that game? Do you play EQ21, EQ2, WildStar? You know, are you currently testing out Robert Space Industries because you have a buttload of money and you can spend $300 or $400 just because, and you haven't even flown that plane yet? You know, have you played Destiny? Have you played Pokemon? Have you played Grand Theft Auto, even though me and Mike don't play that game? Have you played Batman? Have you played, you know, Warhammer 40K? We're including the tabletops here. Now, if you got snapshots of your tabletop games, make it interesting. Do a write-up. Tell us about why you love that game. Make us want to talk about your story on the Pulse Gamecast, because it's you guys that make us who we are. We could talk in this microphone all day long with the most wonderful content, but in the end, it's our listeners and the people who become involved with us, who tweet to us, who shoot us in the back when we're not looking. Thank you, by the way. That's what makes this fun and why we do what we do, because of you guys. So get involved, get interested, you know. Go back and take a look at our show notes. Go back and, you know, if you see show notes you like, download that one if you haven't heard it already. But please tell me you have. You know, go back and listen to it and then do a screenshot. You know, if you've got an achievement in the game that you don't think anyone else has, and it's one of the games we've talked about, please send us that with a write-up of when you got it, how you got it, why that character rocks, how come you got the "yes, I looked up this anime character skirt" achievement. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear about that kind of thing. So we're going to take a look at the entries, and only one person will win, but it's, you know, it's going to be one of you guys, because me and Gray already have headsets. So, and that being said, we want y'all to, you know, to be jazzed. We want you to really get into this. So, you know, write a good write-up about your screenshot. Just, we want you to be pumped about it. We want you to say, hey, that's why I like listening to Pulse Gamecast, because they make fun of my game and my character's really good at that. And that, or, you know, even if you got mad and said, this guy said they didn't like, you know, GTA San Andreas, and I love that game. Look at this screenshot here. Change our minds. So, that'll be coming up here shortly. We'll give you some deadlines for that, and, you know, that's what we want you guys to do. We want you to get involved, so definitely check us out, and we'll go ahead and move on to the news. So, let's talk about the news. News. Robert Space Industries, CitizenCon, happened recently, and for those of you who know what RSI is, it's basically the godfather of all, you know, space sims, the Wing Commander series specifically, has been making his own Eve Killer, and it's really incredible for those of you who have kept up with it. I mean, not a little bit, we're talking about like the bomb kind of killer. It started off as a Kickstarter, and he went like 10 times what he wanted, and just kept going. I mean, this, if Red Cross would, you know, recruit this guy, world hunger, and I'm telling you, disease would be over. This man is incredible at raising capital. So, that being said, they have a 10-minute video showing the planet side aspect of their new game. Now, if any of y'all have seen the hangars that they created, which was the first part of the game that was available, it was really, really incredible. Detail, ambiance music, lighting, and it's all permanent aspects. Now, we're not looking at things now that are, you know, this is temporary, you zone in and then it's gone. We're looking at, you know, stuff that's static, that's going to be permanent throughout the game, and that's really impressive. I was watching just the first part of the video where you're basically in a spaceship. There's already hundreds of them available, but you're in this one spaceship and you're coming into, I'm guessing it's Earth, it could be any planet, but it's a blue planet, and they take control of your ship as you re-enter, and you're really, it shows you breaking ionosphere and burning off that stuff, and this is from the interior of the cockpit, and then they show an outside as you break Atmo, and then you come in for a glide landing on an ILS path, and as you're doing that, the city beneath is gorgeous, and then they also show you in a space, you know, in a space module as part of a space station, and then later on the ground, and just the backgrounds and stuff like that that they've already put in looks like the polished end of any. I mean, it just pretty much kicks the snot out of SWTOR. It's way past the other games as far as I'm concerned. It's way up there with probably Mass Effect and, you know, anything BioWare puts out on the more real side, less cartoony stuff. Eve. It's really up there with Eve. Eve should be really scared about this RSI industry product, because I'm telling you, if it does for sandbox manufacturing as Eve did, now you're going to have your diehard Eve people. But if it does that and makes it more reachable and not quite as expensive as it's looking at the moment, this is really going to just knock the socks off the space crowd, the people who like playing the trader games, you know. But anyway, that being said, Space Combat has been going on for a long time in this game. Check it out. But it's robertspaceindustries.com. And then go to your CitizenCon 2014 Persistent Universe demo. And it's amazing. Truly amazing. Put it, you know, it's in HD, so crank it up and take a look at it. It's really awesome. Next on the feed here is the Final Fantasy stuff. Square Enix recently had their Las Vegas Fan Fest 2014, and anybody who's familiar with Square Enix knows they've been in it since day one. We're talking about, you know, the Final Fantasy series, you just name it, you know, Dragon Quest, all those, they go all the way back. So they know how to get people really, really happy. Well, problem was is they sold out tickets for their Fan Fest in 15 minutes. Not that anybody really likes them or anything, but I mean, Sony can't do that, so... There we are, FanFest 2014, tickets sold out in 15 minutes. Well, did you want to go? I tell you what, they got you covered. Square is offering a free standard resolution stream, or you can pay $20 for an HD stream with additional perks, such as the keynote stream, the closing ceremony stream, and the in-game Moogle costume. And I'm guessing in-game Moogle costume is for Final Fantasy, the new their MMO online. And access to the archive footage until March 2015. So basically you get three streams plus in-game costume and archived footage all for $20 in HD. You really kind of can't go wrong with that if you're a huge Enix fan, you know, Final Fantasy freak. I can't say that I am yet. I haven't really gotten to play it. I keep promising Gray that I'm going to do that, and, you know, everything gets in the way. But truthfully speaking, I was really blown away by how much they're giving for the price there. When I looked, went to the page and looked, they're really, really pushing the live stream features. They talk specifically about, what's his name, Naoki Yoshida, who's the keynote producer, director of, you know, the whole deal, the big shebang. And includes the closing ceremonies event. They got the attire thing there. Access for the archive footage until March 31st. And host on the official live FanFest Twitch channel. So since we're broadcasting on Twitch, you know, we kind of want to give some love back to them. Visit the Twitch premium live channel stream and click subscribe button to purchase it. And then they, you know, they accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, PayPal, blah, 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 blah. Take their money. I mean, they want to take your money. Give it to them. The Moogle attire code will be redeemed immediately on the MOG station. So Square Enix, there you go. However, the item will not be delivered in the game via the Moogle delivery service until the conclusion of the Tokyo Fan Festival on December 21st. So even if you buy it, you don't get the Moogle stuff until December 21st so that everybody gets it at the same time, because this is kind of a rolling event. Now, what's interesting is, although they're offering this for the Las Vegas, the London and the Tokyo Fan Festival will be different. So anybody in those areas who actually listens to our broadcast, konnichiwa and oi, and did I get that right? Yeah, okay. So there you go, and hope you enjoy it. But you won't get your stuff until December 21st, 2014 for the Moogle stuff, just so you know there. That being said, they're also offering the live stream free of charge for the Las Vegas thing in standard definition. It does not include the keynote or the opening ceremonies or the closing ceremonies. You don't get the bonus items, and you don't get the archived stuff. So if you got $20, it's, I think that's 1 month of Final Fantasy. Sure, why not? You know, I mean, that stuff's really freaking awesome. Okay, moving on. Couldn't be a Gray broadcast or Jason broadcast without us talking about WildStar. And WildStar is busy this week. As of October 15th at, what time was it? 12 Pacific? Hold on. At 5 a.m. Pacific time. Starting tomorrow, so if you listen to our broadcast live, you're good, but if you're waiting until we post it, you're a little late. That being said, for a period of 12 to 24 hours following 5 a.m. Pacific time on the tomorrow, October 15th, they're going to be going down. Why? Why, you say, why are they going down? They're going down to implement mega servers. So, for those of you who know I used to love Star Wars Galaxies, mega servers would have been great. We didn't implement them until it was too late. It is what happened in the EQ universe. Basically, what that means is they're going to be merging multiple small servers into huge servers where population can be handled with no lag time. So basically, what this tells you is two things about their business model. One, they planned for more people to be playing at a higher rate. And now that they have less customers and they need to supplement the income, they're going to mega servers, which is cheaper, you know, overall in capital and maintenance over time to just implement larger server areas, server farms in single locations rather than have four or five areas, you know, all over the place. So that being said, two large servers, one in North America and one in Europe. The first one's technically there's four, because there's a PvE server and a PvP server. The PvE server is going to be North American, called Entity, and the Europe server is going to be called Jabbit. The PvP server in North America is going to be Warhound, and the one in Europe is going to be called Luminol, which I think is actually something that, maybe I'm wrong. I kept thinking that's like a radiation or something that they used to paint clock hands with or something, which would be kind of sick because I think a lot of people died of that. But anyway, that being said, four servers. Okay, so how does that affect us? Well, more people. What about my characters? Well, if you have a character level 3 or above, they're safe. If it's 1 or 2 and you haven't logged in 30 days, they're getting deleted. So if you want to keep that character, I highly suggest you level them to 3 quickly tonight. Characters, guilds, and belongings being moved. Yes, they are. All of your characters, guilds, and belongings are being moved, especially if they're level 3 or above and have been logged in the last 30 days. Character names. Everyone wants to know about what's happening with character names. Well, that is important. Because, you know, it's your character's personality is attached to their name. So, well, as long as your character is... basically, they're going to have you log in and add a second name. So, if there's a conflict, you'll be prompted to have that second name. They also have, what do you call them, primers or... what do you call it, a naming guide for Exiles and Dominion. They're going to have that listed. So, if you had a character whose name was Bob, you might end up being Bob X. Let's just put it that way. But they don't want to delete any of the character. Since they're deleting all of the 1 and level 1 and 2 characters, which a lot of people were doing as name placeholders. I know you can't believe that, but yes, people actually do that. Name squatting. But those are going to be deleted, so a lot of names are going to become free. That being said, when everybody's merged, just remember you're going to be unique because this is one big mega server. You'll be the only person with your name. So put some thought into it, and there you go. What about guilds? Well, guilds will be named by oldest guild first, and if there's some type of, you know, if they were happen to be made on the exact same day, then they're going to give guild leaders a chance to rename the guild. So, oh, and by the way, your character will also have a free rename token, rename respect, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, use it wisely. Same thing with the guilds, but it goes to oldest guild first. And last thing is, if you're coming from a French-German realm, there'll be French-German people playing, hoping just as many. So, if you're coming from an English realm or using that character, they're just going to change chat channels, basically. So you'll have mega chat channels with French, German, and English for the European servers. So there you go, guys. You know, they're trying to be as sensitive as they can for borders, even though it's the internet, so good luck with that. Alright, so there you go. Tomorrow, well, I guess not tomorrow, because I said 12 to 24 hours, and to be very patient with them, because this is huge, and I can agree, having done many server shifts myself, it is huge. I wouldn't bet that they'll be back up until the 16th. If they are, I'd be impressed, and, you know, that's cool. But considering you guys are paying money, I'd expect them to be back up in the 16th. So, there you go. Good luck with that. Mega server implementation. Moving on. Destiny. Who likes Destiny? I told you I like Destiny, not just 20 minutes ago. Well, I liked it, and then I heard that they're already nerfing stuff. There you go. And not just nerfing anything, nerfing the scout, or nerfing the auto rifles. However, the scout rifle is getting a boost. Yay! Apparently, Vault of Glass exploit is removed. I haven't played long enough to know what that is, but it's an exploit. And shotgun and hand cannons have been tweaked in power. And rate and accuracy, I believe. And if I'm not mistaken, they've removed a couple of high sniper positions in some of the areas. Also, they've closed the loot cave at the rocket base. So... sorry about that. For those people who were, you know, using the rocket base as a treasure trove, it's gone now. Let's see. The auto rifle balancing decreases the gun's base damage by 2% and reduces the stability by 4 to 17%. Did not like that, but hey, it is what it is. And the damage multiplier has... decreases the precision damage multiplier by 1.5 to 1.25. So... to me, that's not big. Other people, you know, I guess if you're counting your P's and Q's and you're playing that Iron Banner thing, that's important. So, sorry, guys. That being said, the less popular scout rifles got an upgrade of damage increase by 6%, along with improvements to auto aim and recoil tuning, which is nice. I like using sniper rifles. Other two primary weapons will undergo some tweaks as a shotgun base damage at a maximum range of 20% weaker, less effective at a distance, while the revolver has increased mid-jump accuracy. So, that's pretty cool. You know, you jump in the air and that's more accurate at apex, I guess. There's some other stuff, but like I said, we've already talked about it. You can look up the most recent hotfix 1.0 2.2. And it goes live October 14th, which is today. And since I don't own the game and I was only renting it, I don't have to worry about it. Yay! I probably will buy it, though. Probably will buy it. Okay. So, there you go for all of you people out there who love their Destiny. Now let's move on to something just a little bit more kid-friendly, I guess. So, I was digging through Kotaku, which I'm, you know, apt to do at work. Sorry, boss. The Pokemon remake called Omega Ruby and Omega Sapphire, I believe. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. That's what it is. Got to get it right. So here's something cool. And normally I'm not the kind of person to go, oh, look at this. But now apparently there was some type of information embargo going on. And since a whole bunch of stuff dropped today, this was the one thing I wanted to talk about. There was a whole bunch more information about Pokemon and the Nintendo systems and stuff like that. Especially it looks like they're going to start using those little Mii things that you... Like the ones that are on the Skylanders and the ones that are on the Disney Universe thing. And I guess the Marvel has them now and stuff like that. It's basically like a base and you put these little figures that are tradable. And apparently they carry their stats with them. So they're thinking about using those, but that's not what the story is about. The story is about Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And what's cool is now you will have the ability to fly over the terrain to find some very rare spawns. What's really neat is basically you mega evolve your Pokemon. This is going to apparently take, from what I was looking at the notes, like half your life to do, according to this, because you have to have a thing called an Eon Ticket, and they're not even sure how to get that. But apparently it's worth it, because once you mega evolve into Airplane, you know, you're and they're called a Latios and a Latias, a Mega Latias and a Mega Latios. Once they evolve into basically the Airplane, which you can fly around in, it gives you access to the sky, and you'll basically be flying through the sky searching for mirage spots, apparently is what they're called, where incredibly rare Pokemon can be found. So that's pretty cool. It looks like you can do flips and twirls and all kinds of aerial acrobatics. That's kind of neat. So that being said, there's a little, all these notes have been put in the show notes. There's a little bitty video for YouTube there that shows him evolving it. And then there's another one that shows him spinning and flipping through the air and looking for stuff. So there you go for all you trainers out there. Got to catch them all. And apparently now you have to fly. But don't fly near any Ebola areas, because they won't let you land afterwards. Be careful. All right, so final thing. I just kind of threw this in here, and I was kind of hoping to talk with Gray about it online. So it would have been great if he was here. But this is the last thing I had of it. Has anyone ever heard of video game addiction? You know, like, is there another way to be about video games? I mean, just thought I'd throw that out there. So video game addiction. It's been blamed for a lot of things, and scapegoated for even more. Back in the old days, there was, Dungeons & Dragons? I mean, I'm sure they scapegoated chess and checkers for people killing each other at some point. Then, you know, Dungeons & Dragons came along. Thank you, Tom Hanks, for one of your breakthrough roles being blaming everything in the world on Dungeons & Dragons. I've forgiven you since shaving Ryan's privates, but it's hard. Now, moving on. There is a lot of studies out there, especially since this is a digital age, about people who get addicted to video games, and it, you know, basically ruins their life. Ben Stein, who I respect incredibly, his son became addicted to EverQuest, and he is just a staunch EverQuest opponent. And you know, he's one of those people who, like I said, I respect the hell out of him about this. But he was one of those people who was, you know, take control of your life. If you have a problem with it, it's, you know, it's a problem you have to deal with, because it's your life. He's a real, I wouldn't call him a conservative, but I'd call him, you know, somebody who's very serious about owning up to who you are and things in the world, because he takes both conservatives and liberals to task for stupid things that they say. This is a very brilliant man. I mean, he's taught at some of the most intelligent colleges in the world, and he's a doctorate. He's not an idiot. So here's this guy who blamed EverQuest for his son's pretty much mental breakdown and inability to function. And it's hard being a gamer and growing up as a digital native, which I'd like to say I'm the first digital native, generation. Gray and I are. Computers were part of our lives from our earliest memories, and things like Tron and, just made us want to become computer experts even more. I remember the last Starfighter was a movie that everyone just thought was groundbreaking because of the special effects involved, and it was. And these were things that motivated us to become computer programmers. I mean, the first computer games were text-driven, and then they were vector graphics games, and then we had the first video arcades. And so we're the first digital natives, and it was a harsh, ugly landscape when we got here, and we tamed it. And now all this next generation that's come through, actually the third generation that's come through now, their minds, that the engrams in their brain have been formed around constant communication and constant online capabilities. They can't imagine a world that existed prior to being connected. Okay, and the reason I did this big loop is because what you're talking about, when you say video game addiction, is addiction to the video world. Because almost all entertainment can be addictive. You can sit here and watch TV and eat bonbons all day and get fat and die. Or you can sit here and play video games, like in the South Park episode where they were trying to level up their, World of Warcraft characters, and they all got fat and almost had heart attacks. I mean, there's so many ways you can destroy your life. But this guy named Ciaran O'Connor wrote a book, and he kind of approaches game addiction from the perspective of a counselor and a developer. So that's good. That's what we want. It's time for the digital natives to write these books. They're old enough now, and they understand enough, and they're not stupid. I'm not calling the digital, age stupid. What's important to understand here is how much older generations have offloaded onto video games and offloaded onto entertainment as being bad. And what he's come up with is, yes, video games are just as addictive as alcohol or drugs or other things. But these are addictive personality features, and you just have to learn how to treat it. And what's interesting that he mentions that I haven't heard before is that women are just as addicted as men, because, you hear about the demographic, men 18 to 25 are video gamers. That's just what they are, and they tailor all their stuff. Well, what they don't talk about is the tablet gaming and the phone gaming. Girls are becoming more addicted to Candy Crush Saga and freaking Bejeweled and Farmville and all these things. Women, mothers, housemakers are becoming so... I mean, how many people are on Facebook? If I get one more Farmville invite or Candy Crush Saga or pet, whatever, I'm going to make a pet cemetery, because there's no smite button on those things, and there should be. Those things drive me nuts. They absolutely drive me nuts, but they're so addictive to some personality types. And what he's noticed in his studies is that the availability of games through smartphones and tablets have made the situation as far as game addiction invariably worse. And it's not just boys in rooms playing their video games anymore. It's become a lot more widespread. And he gives some advice, to people who feel that they might be struggling with video game addiction, or how to seek therapy or talk about it, maybe get a group. Because, that's how you deal with addiction. You get with other people and you say, look, I have a problem. I need other people who have broken this to help me. And it's really interesting. So I'm going to add the show notes there. And it's from awesomegames.co.uk. And it's Game Addiction Stereotypes, Dangerous Scapegoating in Video Games. So, thought that would be something. On a more serious note, obviously I don't want to end it on that. So let's talk one more time about all the, content you guys... Normally what I was going to do is talk about geeky stuff, but truthfully speaking, I struck out on geeky stuff. And I know I probably shouldn't have, but there was just nothing that I could get together that even remotely sounded like I wanted to talk about tabletop gaming this week. I couldn't find any card games. I couldn't find any miniatures or any Kickstarters that I wanted to talk about, which is rare, but it happens. So y'all don't hate, okay? So what we'll do is we'll end on all the stuff you guys are going to send us, because y'all are going to send us lots and lots of really awesome things, screenshots with write-ups about, you know, our year online with you guys and the trials and tribulations and the crap y'all had to listen to me say, you know, that verbal diarrhea that just fell out of my mouth. Me and Gray, we want to hear from you guys. We really do. Y'all are the reason we do this. Y'all are the reason that, you know, anyone even downloads this stuff. And we've got a pretty decent download number. So we know that y'all are listening. We know that y'all listen to our tweets and our podcasts and our, you know, I've already had a couple of people come up, and I say a couple, a few more than that, who have, you know, known us from the podcast and shot us repeatedly playing PlayStation. And that's, or, you know, I haven't had anybody on EQ yet. I really would like to get someone approach me on EQ. Yeah, like I said, you guys could find us on Sony, on the Sony PlayStation. I am, I think I'm JUNGJEDI. So, or you can find me on, what was the other one? JYSYNN. So, you guys find us on there, you know? Hook up with us, talk with us, take screen. Oh man, I couldn't imagine if you guys found us and took a screenshot with us. I'm sure that would at least put you near the top somewhere, because we very narcissistic bastards. So, anything to get you guys involved with us. We want feedback, you know, and we want to reward you for it. I mean, Razer Carcarious headset, brand new, in the box, never been opened. We want you guys to have it. So, hook us up. Give us what we want. We've been trying to give you guys what you want. And throw your opinion in there. Slide us an email. You know, slide us anything. Slide us a Twitter. Whatever. Just get out there and involve. Latch on like a bear with meat. You know, that's what we want. So, thank you guys for listening. I guess we're going to be cutting this short at 7:38. Like I said, normally Gray would fill up the rest of this time here, but it looks as if y'all are just stuck with me today. So, we appreciate y'all being here, and if there's anything we can do for you, definitely hook us up. Black Lace is going to go ahead and give you our particulars on the way out, and you can find me again on Raptor, Sony PlayStation Network, and that other thing that we talk about, Steam. Thank you, JYSYNN. And I think you can find Gray on Teletech. And like I said, y'all have a good one. Appreciate you listening. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.